Folks, welcome to March again. And it's really kind of, yesterday I had a little, it wasn't an epiphany, but it was some kind of me. It really kind of dawned on me, even though we're this far into 2026, that we are already into March. So we were in, you know, coming into the end of the first quarter. I think it had to do with work and some things that were going on, but you know, sometimes these days get past you. And then all of a sudden, there's something that really gets you to put the brakes on. And my presentation at a Zoom presentation a couple of weekends ago, and then Ronnie's presentation, and then Forrest yesterday, all of these things, it's funny how they all kind of dovetail. But the one thing that comes about in it is, I know I said it, that we talk about it sometimes to ad nauseum, is that we can't let go of right division, rightly dividing. That is the process. That is the tool by which to study. And like I've always said before, you rightly divide even outside of Scripture. You do it in your everyday life. Whether you're, in the produce section, picking out the right fruit, the right vegetables or whatnot, or you're a boss having to hire people for those jobs. You're not just opening the door and the first three guys that walk through the door are hired. So let me start with a prayer and then I'll go forth with what I'm going to present. Father in heaven, we are here again, and I personally thank you for me being able to have this understanding, have this knowledge, and put forth what I learned in the hopes that other people find it worthwhile to listen to. And Lord, I thank you for you putting in me this desire to understand and the willingness to walk and listen, talk with other people and listen and give of what I have and what I can give, but also to be able to take in what others afford me with their knowledge. We have a wonderful group here, and, it is a greatly measured amount of knowledge and wisdom and love. And we always give thanks to you, Lord. Everything that you do is on high. And we love you, Lord, for that. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. So, what occurred here the other day is I had a conversation, with a friend my wife and I have back east, who has transitioned from Catholicism to becoming a Christian and studying. However, she still believes in the need to follow God's commandments. And I'm not saying that there's anything, there's anything wrong with still trying to adhere to the commandments as long as there is a measured understanding of what that is. This individual is one that remains unable to discern what is to us and what is for us. So rightly dividing the word is still a puzzling concept. So I decided to take a make a quick dive into all of the explanations for the abolishment of the Mosaic Law and the justification in order to present to someone who may be like-minded in that sense. And I'll, you know, to start off, we talked about, you know, a lot of times we look at abolished as being, you know, we've got the word destroy. It's not to destroy in the way that we look at that word, but as it's used in a term called loose down. It's not as, let's just say, it's not as destructively, as destructive as it sounds. So we go to Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Destroy. The Greek verb kataluo, primarily means to tear down or abolish, derived from kata, down, and luo, loosen. It literally means to loosen down or dismantle something. Sounds a lot less, let's just say, strong than just to destroy, to abolish in our, you know, the way we look at it in our language now, today. So we're going to jump to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read 9 through 16. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. There you go. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now, laws, we'll look at that a little later, because the title of this that I'm presenting to you tonight is, what is the law now? What is the law now? Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Pay attention to this one, because it will come up again. In John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. There you go. That right there puts it all together. It encompasses everything else. But we'll still go on here. Ephesians 4:21-26. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's an important one. That is a real important one, because never could sleep be so more troubled than to go at rest at night, to go try and go to sleep with this madness, this anger over something that has happened. Because it's not, you couldn't change anything that night. It wasn't going to make any difference. So you don't, you know, you sit and bounce off the walls for a couple of hours and go to sleep, and you still end up in the same spot, having accomplished nothing. So as it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I know that was a little sidestep where we were, but I felt that was a good point to, you know, good point to make, and it's good to adhere to abide by. Colossians 3:10 states, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Galatians 2:20, that last one for Colossians, having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How many times have you known something? How many times have you known something, or let's just say, I'll say, be aware of a certain piece of information, and you can go days, hours, days, weeks, months, and then all of a sudden, there's that word again, epiphany. And all of a sudden, that same knowledge comes up again, and you suddenly, the light shines on it brighter, and you understand it more. That's a fantastic thing. It's there. It's there just going, hello, hello, I'm here. Think for a moment. Think for a moment. Sorry about that. And we'll go to Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There is one of the statements there that's very, very plain. The rest of it is all there, and is not just, you know, hidden, you know, between the lines, or, you know, just under the surface. It's telling you, but this one is straight out. The Mosaic laws, the commandments, trying to adhere to them, and that be your salvation, that is not going to get you there. And if that were the case, as it says, then Christ is dead in vain. Galatians 5:4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. There you go. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It doesn't say we have redemption through the laws. And then it says through his blood. The laws don't have blood. The laws could not have sacrificed themselves on the cross. Again, it's very specific, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Moral ethics within the Mosaic law, understood through a New Testament lens of love and grace, not legalistic adherence. Hebrews 7, chapter 7, 12 through 16. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Melchizedek, his name means king of righteousness, and he was the king of Salem. Jesus' priesthood is superior to the Old Testament Levitical system because it is established on a new, eternal, and divine basis rather than legal, physical descent. And now we will jump to Luke chapter 24, verses 44, 45, and 46. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Stand by. It looks like did I lose everybody on Pal Talk, or am I back?
They say they don't have sound, Chico.
Oh, it's bouncing. It's bouncing now. I must have said something important, so it wanted to try and abolish me.
Maybe so. I'm not showing your mic locked on in Pal Talk either, so.
Yeah, so here we go. Are we back in Pal Talk now? Hello, hello, hello?
Still no mic.
Oh, it's not showing, even though it's showing up here. Give me 1 second here. See, it was just getting good.
Yeah, that's the way it always goes.
Well, who is Sojourner 17?
That's Nick.
That's Nick, yeah. So, well, other than that, he's the only one that isn't over here on Palta or Zoom. So everybody else is hearing me. It doesn't want to connect. It's still saying connecting audio. So,
gotcha. I'll try to connect it. You go ahead with your study. I'll see if I can patch it in.
So I am going to read that over again. Luke 24, 44, 45, and 46. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. You know, that covers quite a bit there. And, you know, from what did happen. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Full stop. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, some may look at this and say, well, that's a contradiction over earlier, you know, points in Galatians. But it is just saying, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That's where the key is. But this has changed. Now we'll go on now in 11, 12, 13, and 14 of Galatians chapter 3. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. 4. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. If we were still bound by the Mosaic Law today, then it was not fulfilled, and Jesus would have failed in his endeavor. If Jesus accomplished what he came to do, then the measure of the law was fulfilled. The measure of the law was fulfilled, not by us. As I know no one save Jesus that was able to follow all of the laws. In Galatians 5, chapter 5, we're going to go 2 through 6. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. So people might say, so the law and all of that was for naught. Not in its time. Not in its dispensation. If faith is bound to any portion of the law, then you must be bound to all of the law. And in that time, it is not of grace that you have your faith. Salvation. That would include all of its bloody sacrifices, annual treks to Jerusalem, and purification rituals. Ephesians 2, 14 and 15. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Matthew 22:36. We'll go 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I told you we would be back to that. And we read that again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The Lord God is first in your love. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So as stated, these two commandments, they encompass all other commandments. It is just that simple. We could not live by the doctrines of the commandments because of our sinful nature, and therefore a means by which to ensure our salvation was provided. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross erased our sins, and this measure calls for us to believe in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection as a means to our life everlasting. We go to Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And we read that, which was contrary to us. Why would God give us laws that are contrary to us, our existence? He wasn't, you know, having a loan of us or anything else for that matter. That was a long teaching method by showing that we weren't, we weren't so big, and we didn't get full of ourselves because we could not fulfill those commandments. We could not abide by them. Let us look at some scripture that gives us an understanding of what was to come and what has come in regards to what was the dispensation of the law and what is now the dispensation of grace. In Micah 6:8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And I go back with that to the two commandments that Jesus spoke of. They're not in the original commandments. But these two encompass it. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him. You're not going to murder him. And that doesn't mean it's your neighbor who lives on the same street. A neighbor is anybody who exists in the world along with you. You may not know your neighbor. But they are your neighbor nonetheless. And if you don't hold any malice towards them, if you love them, you give that love willingly, this is, this is the point that's being made. It's been simplified. Does everybody still hear me okay here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fantastic. Because a little message came up that Zoom was not responding. First time I've seen that. So, at any rate, we'll go to Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He really told them on that one. We'll go to Hosea 6:6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Even at that point, going back, there were little tidbits that were just kind of a hint of what the law was about, a hint of what was to follow the law, what was to come, you know, in the future. Isaiah 1:17, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. These are all lofty actions, but they do speak of something a little bit more to come that goes beyond the law. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 8. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you go again. There it is. There it is. And let's see. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 5, or I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, 6, and 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, they say pride goes before a fall. Well, I'll tell you this right now. I'm not a proud man. May sound like it sometimes, but pride goes, as they say, goes before a fall. And especially at my age, I don't need that much help to fall. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Over and over, what it states is going back to the two commandments that Jesus was speaking of. And we go to 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. We'll jump to Luke 6, 36 and 37. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Loving your neighbor, loving your brother. It is kind of a common theme in Scripture. And if anybody say that we spend way too much time discussing right division, then what of this? What of the other things that are spoken of? Are they spoken of to ad nauseum? I think not. So this brings us back to the question that was asked of one of the Pharisees, who was a lawyer, as to which was the great commandment. And then we go back to Matthew 22, 38 and 39. This is the first and great commandment. And that was to love God. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ad nauseam? No. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's nothing of this. Nothing of this that would be stated regarding the Mosaic Law. And again, I'm not belittling the Mosaic Law. I'm just going off of what is in Scripture and what is required of us. The Gentiles were brought forward following Acts 28:28. So in Ephesians 2:14 now, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We're no longer Jew nor Gentile. Rather, there is one man. Ephesians 2:15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That right there says a lot. Lastly, we are not in the dispensation of the law. Rather, we are in the dispensation of grace. And therefore, on account of Jesus' sacrifice, the Mosaic Law was nullified. It seems there are a lot of people that want to accomplish something in order to gain entrance into heaven. But it has been proven that the rules previously administered were far more than we were able to manage. Therefore, gaining salvation has been somewhat simplified throughout through the application of grace and the sacrifice of God's only begotten Son. And with that, Lord, we say, we give ourselves in love and thankfulness for that sacrifice that you made of your only begotten Son. We pray for ourselves. Every day we do, we pray for ourselves. And that you will always know that we are grateful for what Jesus gave up, what he did for us, that we couldn't do for ourselves. And we will continue to study as we have with your words in our mind and on our lips, prayerfully being edifying to all. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.